Hi, this is Pastor Patrick of Calvary Chapel, Wichita. I pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you listen to this message.
All right, well, if you have a Bible, open up to, say, Jeremiah 33:3. This evening, I'm going to do a topical message titled Answers for Today. It's a topical message titled Answers for Today. And it has nothing to do with the Answers for Today ministry in Costa Mesa, but this is a message about us as believers trying to find answers for us today for the things that we go through. So before I get in the message, let's go ahead and give this up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this evening, Lord. Father, as we've gone through a lot of difficult situations this past year, Lord, we've had ups and downs and plateaus and just a hodgepodge of different things happening in our lives, Lord. Father, we want to thank you for being faithful to us, for providing for us, for loving us, for being merciful to us, Lord. God, you are so wonderful, and we are so not deserving of your love and your gifts and your provisions, Lord. But Father, you love us anyways. And so, Lord, we just say thank you so much. And we bless your holy name, God. Thank you so much for bringing us through these tough and difficult times. And Father, we look forward to what you have for us next year, even starting tomorrow, Lord. We will look forward to how you're going to work in and through our lives, Father, and how your Spirit's going to speak to us and minister to us and grow in our relationship with you, and how we can touch and minister to our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus around and our neighbors who do not know you around, Lord. Father, we want to thank you and pray that you just continue to use us for your kingdom as we bless your holy name. In Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, in desiring answers for today in your life, you want to be on par with what God's plan and will is for your life today. So, in golf, a par is the standard number of strokes or swings at the golf ball that it takes to get the ball into the hole for a particular course. A par four course takes you four strokes at the ball to get it into the hole. This means you are even with the course if you take four swings and get the ball in the hole on a par four course. So in golf, to be below par is a better thing because it takes you less swings to get the ball in the hole. But if you're above that, it's poor performance. I might add that it is extremely boring to watch on TV. I'm just saying. I remember one time in high school, I had five holes, hole-in-one, where you hit the ball once and it goes in the hole. Five in a row. That was the best time I've ever had at miniature golf. It was fantastic. And of course, at the end of the day, I kind of swung too hard and hit the ball into the freeway, and it hit some things, and some police came, and that's another story for another time. But I did have a great time, even though it's boring to watch on TV. In the Christian life, to be on par with God's will for our life is how we win the game. We want to be with what God is doing, what His plan is, to be exactly and congruent, exactly what His plan is. And to be below or above God's plan in our life is to be off on the fairway or out of bounds. And we try to stay in line with what He's doing with our life. So this coming year, be even or be on par with what the Lord is doing, what God's will is for your life. There are three issues I want to talk about tonight. The first is to recognize the problem. Second is to research the answer. And then third is to realize the reality. So first is the recognize the problem. See, in trying to find answers for today, Christianity has come up with a pithy little statement, pithy little phrase. What would Jesus do? So I did some research from a highly acclaimed resource location, Wikipedia. It says the phrase, what would Jesus do, often abbreviated WWJD, became popular in the United States in the 1990s as a personal motto for adherents of evangelical Christianity who used the phrase as a reminder of their belief in a moral imperative to act in a manner that would demonstrate the love of Jesus through the actions of the adherents. And I thought that was great. Even Wikipedia got something right. A follow-up motto answers that question, fully rely on God. So what would Jesus do? The answer was fully rely on God, according to Wikipedia. Abbreviated F-R-O-G, frog. Be a frog. Charles Sheldon wrote a book in 1896 titled In His Steps, and it was subtitled, What Would Jesus Do? What would Jesus do? All right, copy right here. Sheldon's novel, and it's a novel. When you read it, if you ever get a chance to, you'll see that it's a novel. And just in case you didn't hear that, it's a novel. But the novel grew out of a series of sermons that he delivered in his congregational church, where? Topeka, Kansas, in 1896. Well, not specifically, he wrote the book in 1896. So Sheldon's theology was shaped by a commitment to Christian socialism. And if you ever get a chance to read the book, you'll see that that is kind of an emphasis there as well. The approach to the Christian life was expressed in this phrase, what would Jesus do, all throughout this book, with Jesus being a moral example as well as a savior figure. So in this popular novel, which has been translated 21 different languages by 1935, the Reverend Henry Maxwell, according to the book, encounters a homeless man who challenged him to take seriously the imitation of Christ. The homeless man has difficulty understanding why, in his view, so many Christians ignore the poor. And he states, I heard some people sing at a church prayer meeting the other night, all for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my being's ransomed powers, all my thoughts and all my doings, all my days and all my hours. And I kept wondering as I sat on the steps outside just what they meant by it. It seems to me there's an awful lot of trouble in the world that somehow wouldn't exist if all the people who sing such songs went and lived them out. I suppose I don't understand, but what would Jesus do? Is that what you mean by following his steps? It seems to me sometimes as if the people in the big churches had good clothes and nice houses to live in and money to spend for luxuries and could go away for summer vacations and all that, while the people outside the churches, thousands of them, I mean, die in tenements and walk the streets for jobs and never have a piano or a picture in their house and grow up in misery and drunkenness and sin. So that's his premise for the book. What would Jesus do? A grassroots phenomenon organized by Dan Seaborn in Holland, Michigan, spread nationwide in the early 1990s, the What Would Jesus Do kind of a movement in Christianity. Among Christian youth groups, studying this topic and wearing the bracelets, said WWJD. I remember I managed a Christian bookstore in the 90s, and that was the big rage. Everybody had a little What Would Jesus Do bracelet. And then, of course, later came the What Would Jesus Do Bible and the What Would Jesus Do postcards and bookmarks and pens and mugs and pictures and music and t-shirts and blah, 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 blah. All right, so all this paraphernalia about this topic. And then in 2010, a movie called What Would Jesus Do, starring Adam Gregory, became available and based on this book, In His Steps. And recently, in 2011, this year, the phrase, What Would Jesus Do, was found as a main slogan during the Occupy Wall Street movement. I thought that was interesting. Even today, this year, people are still using that phrase, What Would Jesus Do? Okay, now let's recognize what the problem here is. Asking the question is a good thing. The problem is that the question leaves open the possibility for an incorrect conclusion based upon one's opinion. What would Jesus do? Well, I think Jesus would do this, which leads to giving an answer based upon my own opinion. Finding biblical answers for today's issues necessitates biblical research. Biblical research is prayer and reading the Word. It's that simple. So we have recognized what the problem is in asking this question, well, what would Jesus do? As being insufficient to give really a proper answer for life's questions. The real step is to research that answer. Find out what God's Word says. Find out what God's will is for your life. Be on par for what God wants you to do. Pray and read His Word. So let's research the answer. God calls us to seek Him out in order to find the right answer for today's problems. His answers are far greater and more perfect than anything we can possibly imagine. In fact, they are exactly on par with what His will is for your life. So Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Actually, let's go to verse 2. The Bible says, Thus says the Lord, who made it, the Lord who formed it and established it. Speaking about all creation. The Lord is His name. Verse 3, Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. How many people think they know it all? I don't see any hands. There obviously is a lot of things we don't know because God's Word says, what? We don't know. So we're to go to Him and He's going to explain some things that we don't know. Maybe it's something about an issue that you're going through, a problem, you know, some type of decision you need to make. You know what? He's got the answer because He can see time ahead of what is going to take place. He knows what's going to happen. So what better resource to go to than to Him who knows it? Prayer and read the Word. We need answers for today about some of the most difficult things we're facing in life. So I did some research, and here are the top 20 of the most toughest topics Christians seek answers for. So what does the Bible say about homosexuality? Now, as I go through these, I'm going to give one verse, and yet all of these, I have 5 to 10 verses, and I'm not going to tell you, you know, say every single verse because it would be 2012 before I finish. But I'm going to give you one topic and then one quick verse for it. So the first one is homosexuality. The Bible has something to say about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. The second most popular question, the toughest question Christians ask, and what does the Bible say about masturbation? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Tattoos, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28. Christmas, Ecclesiastes 4, 4. Suicide, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 17. Sex before marriage, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 to 20. Choosing a mate, 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Tithing, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. Duties of a Christian wife, Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. Piercing the body, Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 15. Women in ministry, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Dealing with grief, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13 to 14. Fasting, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 to 13. Drinking alcoholic beverages, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Submission in marriage, Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Stress, Job chapter 30, verse 27. Overcoming pornography, Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 15. Divorce and remarriage, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 33. Spanking children, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. And even vegetarianism, Romans chapter 14, verse 17. All of these, there's anywhere between 5 to 15 different verses for that I found in the Bible. These are the top 20 most asked tough questions that Christians are going through. Yet God's word has something to say about all of that. And it's amazing, why does Christians still ask the same questions over and over and over? Because the answer is already here. When was the last time you had a tough decision to make, or you're going through something difficult and you think the topic is spanking children? And you open up the back of the Bible and you see an index and some topics, and you say, oh, there's three or four different verses that talk about that issue. You go in and you pray and you ask God's guidance and His Holy Spirit to help you, and you read about that topic. When was the last time, as you're going through something tough and you need answers, that you've done that? You've just simply opened up the Word, prayed for God to help you, the power of His Spirit, and read His Word. Answers are right there, and it's very simple. Answers for today. See, God's Word has a lot to say about just about everything. Now, God's Word will not tell you how many feet you should stop in front of the stop sign, but it gives you principles about that topic, that you should obey the laws of the land. Everything you need for life and godliness can be found in His Word through prayer and just simply reading it. God's Word is powerful, but all too often, we don't do what? We don't open it up and read. So let's take the time to pray and read God's Word this new year. So now that we've researched this answer, finally, we need to realize. We need to realize the reality of what God is doing through this process. See, God is doing something miraculously through that simple process of prayer and reading His Word. What is that? What is God doing through searching His Word? The answer that God gives us is for a specific purpose. So what is that purpose? We need to realize the reality that those answers are to lead us right back to Christ. John chapter 5, verse 39. If you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 5, verse 39. John chapter 5, verse 39. John chapter 5, verse 39 says, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. You see, as we do this process of when we're going through trials and tribulations and difficult situations in our life, and we open up God's word, and we pray for his power and his insight and his Holy Spirit to illuminate what his word says to us, and then we simply read that subject or topic that we're dealing with, it does something, and it leads us right back to Jesus. It testifies of the goodness of God. It testifies of the love that Jesus has for you. It testifies of how he's working in you and through you, and that he promises he won't give you anything more than you can't bear. And he keeps his promises. He equips you and helps you. That's what the Holy Spirit is. He's the helper. John chapter 15, verse 26 says, "But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." So even the Holy Spirit, as he's ministering to you, he's testifying to Jesus. And he's saying, you're going through something tough. You're going through something difficult. But you got to turn to Jesus. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't say I can do all things through myself who makes me buff. It says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's Jesus. Both the Word of God and the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus. God wants to give you answers for today. But those answers lead us right back to Jesus. This is what the Christian life is all about. We live this life, and all the while, we're fellowshipping with God to find out what he wants us to do. This helps us to grow in our personal relationship with him, and we live on par with his will for our life. If you never pray or read the Bible, then the choices and the decisions you make in your life will reflect that neglect. Those choices we make in our life when we leave God out will reflect that decision that we've made. It'll be disastrous. That neglect will adversely affect our relationship with Christ because we're leaving him out of our life. God wants to be intricately involved in every decision of us that we have to make, every part of our life. Can you ponder, imagine, think of one area of life that really God should not be involved in? Probably not. Well, I hope not. So in order to know what Jesus would do in whatever the situation, problem, issue, mess, snag, danger, dilemma, jam, decision, circumstance, condition, position, crisis, difficulty, trouble, predicament, quandary, concern, impasse, choice, incident, disaster, emergency, calamity, tragedy, adversity, hardship, failure, debacle, mishap, misfortune, heartbreak, fiasco, devastation, or whatever is going on in your life, you must first pray and read the word to find out what Jesus did or said and allow him to touch you and to reach you and to minister to you with those answers. Because all too often, we try to seek those answers on our own and leave God totally out of the picture. And he wants to walk side by side with you in every step that you take. God loves you, and he wants to be your helper. This last year, you probably have gone through some tough times. this coming new year, make praying and reading the Bible not a priority, but a mandatory part of your life. Why? Because answers for today are just a Bible verse away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word, Lord. It is so precious to us. We want to thank you that you preserved it all through these years that we might read of your great love for us, that we might understand your plan for our life, that we might know you in a deeper, more intimate way, Lord. Father, thank you so much for your word. Father, we're praying now. And as we read your word, Lord, we pray that you would illuminate your scriptures, help our understanding, Lord, to know what your will is for our life, to know what the right decision that we need to make, and how we can glorify our life, Lord, by walking in par with you, God. Thank you for your word, we pray. Amen.
We hope the Lord has spoken to you through his word today. If you've got questions or comments about this message, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're in the Wichita area and don't have a church that you call home, I hope you'll drop by and check us out. You can always get current service times and directions at area code 316-263-3804 or online at www.ccwichita.org. Most importantly, though, please remember, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We've all sinned. We've all rebelled against God. And the penalty for that sin is eternal death. But God, in his mercy, sent Jesus to pay that price, to die that death for us. That's why Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago. He died so we wouldn't have to. And he rose again in glory, promising eternal life with him forever for those who put their trust in him. So if you haven't decided what to do with the cross, why not say yes to Christ's free gift of salvation right now? You can do it wherever you are simply by praying, "Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I confess I am a sinner, and I need your free gift of salvation. Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." The scripture tells us if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you are his. So pick up a Bible and start reading. Begin at the Gospel of John to understand and rejoice in everything it means to be a child of God. If you're in the Wichita area, I hope that you'll stop by. We'll make sure you have a Bible along with some materials to help you begin your walk with the Lord. If you're not close by, feel free to give us a call. We'll be glad to help you find a solid Bible teaching church in your area. Thanks again for listening. May the Lord richly bless you as you commit your ways to him.